You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So excited you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, we want to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I think I've gotten it down to about 18 seconds. I can take that thing down. It's unbelievable. We got the new one, still playing with it. It's unbelievable. I love the little clip on to your shirt that you can kind of run the machine from. It's awesome. My son loves that one. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out tchoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're sick of Zoom calls, if you're sick of, you know, diving everywhere and looking for what you need, our roadmap will help you become a better basketball coach. There's lots of great resources out there, but a lot of them are run by people that are college coaches or aren't teaching stats all day and then jump into the gym and have to deal with the everyday things 24/7 that a high school coach or a youth coach has to deal with. So come over, let me help you become a better basketball coach, tchoose.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
And it's difficult for me to be in a place where it's kind of like, oh, you guys are good. That's cool. Like, you know, maybe you can keep it going, but as long as, you know, we don't have to really, as long as you don't create any problems, you can be good.
Right.
But we had some situations where like kids started wanting to go in the summer to our team camps and wanted to do stuff in the fall and maybe not play football. And it, you know, we were a baseball and a football school first and foremost. And the interesting part of that is if my first year, believe it or not, my first year here, it's not that long ago at Turner Ashby, was the first year in Virginia that coaches were allowed to do anything in the off season.
Okay.
That had never been allowed. So I come in, I'm having these open gyms, we're going to team camps, we're doing all this stuff. And then some kids were sort of defecting to basketball, and it made it to be like, well, that's because he's, you know, doing all this stuff and talking them out of, you know, playing other sports. So I learned a lot about the politics of coaching during that time. And it was in a town that like, I wasn't from there and I was never going to be from there in some people's eyes. And a lot of the people that I was interacting with and maybe in some ways having issues with, like they went to school there, their kids went to school there. They've like, they're lifers.
Right.
You know? And rather than have any of that, like I didn't feel like we could continue to be successful because of some of the limitations that were being put on my program because we were becoming popular within the school. I just didn't, it wasn't a situation I thought would be positive for me.
Right. First of all, there's a huge difference between the 12 inches on that bench. Yeah. Sliding down 12 inches is a big deal.
As Bob Knight says, it's the difference between suggestion and decision. And that's a big
My first JV coach, basically he stayed with me for a really long time. He basically told me it was the best job in the world. We'd won a couple. He goes, I don't have any of the headaches you have, Steve. I have none of the, I mean, I get all the glory. It's great. Yeah. I think, and this is just me, I think taking a head job, even if it's sometimes not the perfect fit, you learn a lot. You got to be willing to, you know, try to find that perfect fit. But, you know, there's lots of things you can do to get ready for that first job. But until it's basically like you got to get thrown in the deep end. You got to get through it. You got to get through it.
And yeah, it's not very often. I mean, usually jobs are open for a reason. Right. So if you're
sometimes it's because like when I retire, it's going to be open because I retire. That's cool. But there's usually a reason, and you got to do a little, I always tell coaches, do some dig deeping into why, you know? Yeah.
So, I mean, I was willing to take any job at that time. And for the school, so the guy that was my AD, he had been the coach for 18 years. So the program was kind of his baby. And then his longtime assistant took over and had it for 4 years, and it didn't go very well. And I think people were pressuring them to get someone outside of their network. And they were like the only school in the area that didn't have AAU. All the other schools kind of had AAU feeders. And so that was something I had just built in Boulder. It was called the Boulder Blaze. And I mean, we were doing really well out there. So yeah, there were a couple coincidences, I think, that led me to being a good fit. One of them was I wasn't from here, and people were pressuring them to let's get someone else like outside. Man,
you, to be honest with you, that you were willing to fly in is like crazy. Like,
yeah. Well, I'm from Indiana again. Like, it is what it is.
No, I mean, it'd be interesting in the post-pandemic world if they'd make you do that.
Yeah, you could Zoom now. I mean, there was no.
You could. So when I moved and got to where I am in Madison, they wanted to do a Zoom call. It wasn't as called that at that point. And I said, no, I'm flying. I was at grad school out in New Hampshire. I said, no, I'm flying home to do the interview. And the reason I did that, here's the reason I did that, is I sell myself better in person. I mean, you can only do so much via this flat screen and in a Zoom. Right. I knew if I got in that room, I got a shot. Like, I can sell myself one-on-one with people. So you got to kind of know yourself a little bit too, but being willing to do that and then being there like 6 feet from them is a big deal, I think.
Yeah, I think that probably went a long way in showing them the passion that I was going to bring to the job. And
right.
I'm like you. I mean, I would have jumped in the car and driven all night if I had to. I mean,
right.
I'm a golfer. I'm a nomad. That was my thing anyway. So, cause I need to be in person, and I'm not afraid to say, I don't want this to sound cocky, but it probably will. But I also felt like I was interviewing them, and right. that I needed to be in person and look them in the eye to
see. Also wanted to see what the talent. I mean, I was from Madison. I wanted to see what it looked like, the area around it, like how are you'll love this. I drove around to see how many basketball hoops I saw on driveways.
Right. Yeah. And I wanted to walk into the gym and see what it felt like when I walked in there. What's hanging on the wall? Do they take any pride in it at all? Like 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
I think that's really important. So then you were the assistant at the college level for a while then.
Yeah. So I was an assistant for 3 years for Coach Dean at Eastern Mennonite, and we the ODAC conference, which is Old Dominion Athletic Conference. It's a Division III conference here in Virginia and in Carolina, like surrounding areas. I mean, it's kind of like the ACC of Division III. It's Randolph-Macon is the best team in the conference, and they've been number one D3 team in the country, I think maybe 3 out of the last 4 years. I mean, historically, we have like top 5 nationally ranked.
Have they won it?
Well, they haven't had it now for 2 years, I guess. So they
I know Oshkosh. I'd put the Wisconsin League against them any day, probably.
Yeah, on par, I'm sure. Yeah.
The we at well, look at all the you know the Whitewaters, the Platteville's, the Oshkosh, I think, won it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So they, I mean, to really to be to be top six in the ODAC, you need to be top 50 in the country. It's kind of, yeah. So I learned so much about basketball, and it really, Coach Dean was the perfect person at that time for me to work for, because he taught me so much about how to deal with all the other things that a coach has to deal with that are not basketball related. And it was just, it was like getting a PhD in the politics of coaching and dealing with people. And I mean, I loved the recruiting aspect. Obviously loved coaching at the college level. It's insanely high level.
So were you in charge of recruiting?
I wasn't really in charge of any, like we all sort of did it all.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, we would have little areas that were kind of our areas to recruit. And because Division III rules allowed me at that time to run an AAU program, like when Eastern Mennonite was not in season, I was allowed to run an AAU program and coach it. Okay. Which if I was a Division I or Division II assistant, you could never do that.
Okay.
And so I knew I was going to – what's that?
Can you still do that?
You can still do that, yeah. Yeah, so I started my program, the Virginia Blaze, which it was the Boulder Blaze in Colorado, and now we're the Virginia Blaze. And it's going really, really well. We've put a bunch of kids, you know, in college at the next level, and we've been having a really good spring. Like I said, we won the Hoop Group event, which was like a national event, just a couple weeks ago. So, but I knew I was going to be in the gym all summer recruiting, so I might as well have a team,
right,
to coach while I'm there. And I missed being an assistant. I missed having that head coaching. I missed that role. And for me, that was going to be fulfilling enough. If I could coach high level AAU in the summer and be a college assistant in the winter, I mean, Coach Dean, I could stop practice anytime I wanted, or tell him I thought we should do this or do that, and he would listen. So I was very happy.
Right.
But after 3 years, he retired. Okay, so okay. He typical of the D3 coaching ranks, he was offered a job to run the county rec department, like all their sports around here, and it paid him significantly more than what he was making.
People don't realize being a Division III basketball coach, I make more teaching math than they do being a D3 coach, to be honest.
For sure. I mean, there are some that make six figures and do really well, but
there are, but they're the outliers.
Yes. And so that kind of put me on the free agent list, I guess. And in the meantime, my daughters have been at Eastern Mennonite School, where I coach now. They've been there since kindergarten. They're in fifth and seventh grade now. And the gentleman who was the athletic director and the basketball coach there had been doing that for 22 years. And he wasn't quite ready to be done, but he was nearing the end.
Okay.
And his son had played point guard for my AAU team and was going to college. And he didn't want to, you know, miss his games for 4 years. He wanted to go see him, which if he was coaching, he wasn't going to be able to do it. So right. We all kind of got together and had a conversation about, you know, whether or not I'd be interested in the job if it was open. And so then it was open, and it was a pretty long interview process. It's not like, you know, they handed me the job. There were a lot of people that applied for it, and eventually got.
How long have you been there?
So I've had 3 seasons there. I just finished my 3rd year there.
So 2.5. I'll count it 2.5.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate. 2.5. Yeah. We played 14 games this year.
That's not bad. What do you think is the hardest thing to teach? To coach.
In basketball?
Yeah, in basketball.
Gosh. The hardest thing to coach.
Always a hard question for every coach. Because it's like, I think there's lots of things, but what's
the thing? It's so hard to narrow it down to one. I mean, I have a saying that I try to live by is I coach kids. They happen to play basketball. I mean, I think the hardest thing to coach is to to coach people. It's right. not, I mean, you know, teaching a jump shot. And there's a lot of different ways to do it, but the human element is maybe the most difficult.
Well, I think Bobby Knight is a prime example of, you better change with the times too. Like, how you coach 30 years ago and how you're coaching now and how you're going to coach 30 years from now is going to be different. Everything, you have to adjust to the clientele that's in front of you too, I think.
You definitely do. And we're a private school. So, people transfer in to play for us. That is allowed at the private school. Like here, private school and public school are not in the same division. Like in Colorado, they were all together. But Colorado is an open enrollment state, so you could go to any high school in Colorado you want to. You could just jump
around. So in Colorado, if I start in a school in October, can I transfer to another school in November and start playing? Do I have to?
No, there's rules for like when you do it.
Okay.
But there's no rule for, like, you could go to Boulder High this year and you could go to Fairview next year, which is another school that's near there. But the only thing is, if you're in your school zone, they'll provide transportation.
Okay.
If you're going to a school that's outside, they're not going to
provide
transportation. Not going to give you a bus. You got to get there. And I think that they're now, I mean, I haven't been there for 10 years, but tuition, you might have to pay some tuition. And then also there's waiting lists for certain schools. So you may or may not get in. But yeah, here, I mean, we've had kids that transfer in, and I mean, kids come to our school for a variety of reasons.
So there's probably not as much hostility between public and private then.
Oh, there's, yeah, there is.
Okay. I see it in our state, but we play in the same, like there's one state tournament for everybody.
Hey everybody, hope you're enjoying the podcast. Please subscribe and like, no matter where you listen to podcasts, whether you're jogging, walking the dogs, walking the kids, playing at the pool, go over and subscribe. Apple would be great, 5-star. If you're going to do a 2-star, don't do it. Spotify or wherever you listen. We would also love if you went over to teachhoops.com. It's what allows us to keep the lights on here and keep things at chugging. So go over and check that out, 14-day free trial. Everyone's got to work on their game and their craft. Come over and help us. And then the last thing is, if you're thinking of looking for other podcasts, go over and check out High School Hoops and Teacher Side Gig. Those are two other ones. And we might have a fourth one in the tank, but we'll tease you on that one. All right, let's head back to the podcast.
And it doesn't tend to affect the big schools. It tends to affect the smaller schools. So.
Well, it would be worse for sure if we were all competing for the same title.
Right.
But it's as bad as it, when a kid leaves a public school and comes to your private school, you're still going to have to deal with the same.
It's the same issue.
And that's an unfortunate part of it.
My theory is a kid should be able to go to school wherever they want. That's my theory. Yeah. But anyway, what do you have a coaching failure or something that's happened in your career that would be a teachable moment for a young coach that's listening? Could be a success, I guess, too. I usually just ask for a failure, but could be a success.
Well, I think for me, when I was younger and like I talked about with my first coaching job here, when I left before, like my relationships were still intact and I'm still very close to a lot of people, that I met when I was there. But my relationship with admin was shaky at times because I felt like I had to fight a lot of battles and I wasn't smart enough to understand, it's that whole thing. I'm trying to think of how the quote goes, but fight the ones that are big enough to matter, but small enough you can win type of thing.
Right.
I mean, I've just fight all the battles
and
try to win them all.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Wasn't smart enough to understand that sometimes when I win, I lose and all those type of things. So yeah, it was just all the non-basketball stuff that I didn't understand what a coach has to deal with and go through and how important, like, I'm the type of person that hasn't, perception doesn't mean a lot to me. Like, I don't necessarily care what someone thinks about me. I'm not going to go out of my way to fake it, to have them love me for something that I'm not.
Right.
I'd rather be hated for what I am than loved for what I'm not, kind of thing. But perception is very important in that position. And
well, it's a political position. Some young coaches don't understand. Yeah. If you're in the, you know, seventh least popular sport, they're not going to care quite as much. But if you're the football coach, you're the basketball coach, you're the baseball coach, it is a little bit of a political position. I've had a hard time explaining that to some of my assistant coaches. Sometimes it's like, I don't know. You're out in the community and you're magnified is basically what I tell them.
Yeah. And I've had the, you know, the things that every coach has had where I've been out to dinner and the table next to us was talking about me, sometimes positively, sometimes negatively, but didn't know that I was sitting right there, you know. Sometimes my daughter would be with me and, like, we're standing at the deli counter one day and this lady's on the phone just railing on me.
Right.
And my daughter was like six and she figured out who the lady was talking about. And she was like elbowing me. And I said, it's part of the deal, honey. It's okay. You know, but I think I've grown. I mean, I still have, you know, still learn every day, but I've grown in those areas. Just as you get older and more mature and go through things, you understand the importance of that part of the job.
Yeah. I think that's a good, I think that's a good thing for coaches to understand. Do you have any superstitions?
Yeah, I sure do. I mean, I'm a golfer, so I don't, you know, I have to have blue Gatorade before every game. And I, you know, once the tip goes and I open it and I take a drink. But going back to my time at that first job that I was talking about, so we were in a stretch where we weren't playing very well, and my sister-in-law bought me a sweater for Christmas, and I wore the sweater to the game, and we broke our win streak, or broke our losing streak, and got a win. So okay. I'm like, all right, I'm not washing the shirt, and I'm wearing it the next game. So we win the next game. And then, well, now you know the rest of the story. Like, so this thing, I mean, I was having to put it in the dryer with like six dryer sheets to keep it, you know, from stinking or whatever. But we ended up rattling off six in a row, which was like the longest win streak that school had had in a long time. And the paper actually wrote an article about the lucky sweater. And people would joke that, you know,
my wife threw out a suit once. It was so bad. Like, I just I wouldn't dry clean it. She says, this is done. We're throwing this out. The worst one is one of my undefeated seasons, it was like 26 number threes at McDonald's or something. Literally, like, by the 26th one, I'd take a bite and I'd throw the rest of it out. Like, I feel bad about wasting food, but it was like, oh my God. But we kept winning. It was like, don't mess with it. I love that. All right. So let's do rapid fire. So what's your favorite brand of basketball?
I like the Evolution.
Okay.
Yep.
One word to describe your ideal player.
Relentless.
Okay. I think I know the answer to the next one. One sporting event. You go to one sporting event, what would it be?
The Masters.
I know. I figured that was. I've had that a couple of times today with the other coaches. What's your favorite pregame or postgame meal?
I'm big on pho, Vietnamese.
Okay.
Vietnamese noodles. Yeah. I'm big on pho. Love pho after a big win. Nothing better.
Okay. What does your normal game day look like? Not this year, but your normal game day look like?
Just routine wise?
Yeah.
Well, teach all day, you know, because I'm a teacher. So I'll teach. And then, yeah, if it's a home game, we're going to have the team meal sometime around 4 o'clock. And then, you know, I'll get the scout written up on the board and that type of thing. And you asked about superstitions earlier. Like, for me, it's more of a routine than a superstition, but I like to sit down, you know, as we put the 20 on there and warm up start, I like to go in the office and sit down and write all my play calls out on a on a note card. So it just gets me thinking in the right way and, you know, think just gets the play calls kind of in my mind or whatever. That's part of my routine. So yeah, then coach the game. And then it's like, I don't know about other coaches, but I come home after the game and upload the film and sit down and watch it. Like I can't.
Oh, you do? See, I don't.
I have to.
So that's the one night I won't do it because I'm too emotional about it. I do it the next day, but I will turn on the news. I'll turn on Netflix. That there's two nights that are easy. Well, that's not an easy night, depending on whether we win or lose. But the night before, like if we play on Friday, Thursday night's easy for me because I can't do anything. I'm done. Like it,
yeah.
cow's in the barn at that point, you know? What am I going to do?
I do something that I call OER. It's a overall efficiency rating. It's a plus minus thing that I've developed over the years. And it spits out a score for me that tells me, and I put a lot of weight into it. It can't tell you everything. It can't tell you if a guy's getting his doors blown off defensively or
right.
You know, missed an assignment or whatever it is. But I will sit down and do the OER. There might be two or three games a year where I don't watch the film that night, regardless of what time it is. But that's just the games where, like, if we win like 90-24,
right?
I'm just on to the next. But
right.
Otherwise, yeah, I've got to sit down and go through all that.
What do you think is one important coaching technique?
Well, I think the most important thing in coaching is relationships and relationship building, whether it be with your players or, like I've said, trying to learn how to grow in the, you know, in the other areas that relationship, because you need every single person in your school and in your community with two hands on the rope pulling in the same direction. Or you just, if you don't, you better have an overwhelming amount of talent to be able to get it done. And we've been lucky enough. We've been to three straight Final Fours and back-to-back state championship games for a little school like ours. And we're, you know, on paper, I mean, we lose the eye test. We always joke that, you know, lose the eye test by 20, lose warmups by 10, win the game by 15. Like, you look at us, the other team, you just think like, this is over. We have no chance.
Right.
But it's not track and field. It's basketball. And so, right. But yeah, the relationship part, not I coach my kids really, really hard. I come in every day. I mean, again, I'm not a yeller. I'm not a cusser. That's not my thing. I think when you do that at some point, you know, you have to continue to do it. And at some point that's all you do.
Right.
Like, and you start you. Down the road.
You know what I'm telling you.
Yeah. And so, but people complain nowadays that you can't coach today's kids and you can't push them and you can't. And maybe I'm just the luckiest guy in the world and I just coach the greatest kids every year, but I don't see it that way. But I do think that it's more important that they know that you care about them and have their best interests at heart and that you have a relationship with them that can like bear the weight of that truth that you have to share with them on a daily basis.
Right.
Whether they're not getting it done or they're not good enough or, you know, what else, like a sacrifice they need to make for the team.
Right.
You know, or something like that. That all boils down to relationships.
Yeah.
I agree. And I coach kids. They happen to play basketball.
Describe your perfect player in 5 words or less.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I have a group of kids here, some of them that play in college and stuff, but we joke all the time about like what the word hooper means, you know, like if I say he's a hooper, then he has the stamp. He's a hooper. But I think on my, I can pull it up real quick on my AAU Twitter bio.
You have the 5 words that you use to.
So motor,
okay.
Skill set, clutch, toughness, and mindset.
Okay. Best basketball player of all time.
Best of all time? Let's see. I mean, I got to go Jordan. Like,
okay.
Favorite of all time is obviously Larry Bird, but yeah, I recognize, you know, the LeBron Jordan argument, and I just think the eras are too different, but the best never, I've ever seen.
He never even got to a game seven. I don't think Michael did. I mean, he never lost the final. He never lost the final.
I mean, I watched my Pacer teams have to go against him and everything. In my mind, he's the best I've ever seen.
I think most used basketball resource.
Twitter.
Okay. Teach one skill. If you could only teach one skill, what would it be?
Shooting.
Shot clock, yes or no?
Absolutely.
Charge circle, yes or no?
Yes.
If you change one thing about the game, what would you change?
If the ball gets stuck in the crotch of the rim, it should be defense ball, period.
That's a good one. I'm going to add that to my my
list. It shouldn't go to the arrow.
It shouldn't go to the arrow. I love that. Quarters or halves?
Quarters.
Okay. One word to describe your coaching style.
Fast.
Okay. Best basketball coach of all time.
I'm going to say, since my dog is named Izzo, I'm going to say Tom Izzo.
Okay. Best team of all time.
76 Hoosiers.
Can't argue it. Jump ball, yes or no?
No, and we played without a jump ball this year. That was the COVID rule.
It's one of I'm gonna add the other one you had too, but jump ball is I don't know why we have it. The visiting team should just get the ball. Let's go.
Right,
and here's the reason. If you're in the NBA and you jump ball everything, great. The officials are good at throwing it. I don't know about in Virginia, but the officials in Wisconsin can't throw the ball up.
Well, we never won it anyway because I coach a bunch of midgets. So right.
I think it would make the X's and O's really good. So that's one of my moves is like, I'm going to try to get rid of the jump ball. It's an archaic thing. I'm on board with that.
I am totally on board. It's not you're right. It's not a consistent.
And the thing is, so you're going to do it at the beginning of the game, and then you're going to do it in overtime. The guy's thrown the ball up maybe four times all year, and he's going to throw it up in overtime.
Right, right.
It's like, come on. It should just be alternating possession. Visiting team gets the ball to start. Yep. Trust me, the X's and O's and the coaching things that would happen would be great. But anyway.
I loved it this year. Yeah.
I know. I think so, too. All right. My last question always is, what's one bit of advice you'd give your younger self?
There are no little things.
There are no little things.
There are no little things. We had a quote that we, not this year, but the year before, that if you're too big to do the little things, you'll be too little to do the big things. And just kind of that whole mantra of like how you do anything is how you do everything. And that, like Brad Stevens talks about it a lot, that like, if you consider the consequences of not doing the little things, you realize there are no little things. Like it all matters. You know, the habits you have when it seems like it doesn't matter end up being the habits you have when it matters most. Like there are no little things.
I love that. That's a great way to end, Coach. Thank you for doing this. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for everything that you do for the basketball community and your passion for the game and for learning and sharing. It's really unbelievable.
Well, thank you. Hey, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you love it and you want to support us, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. 14-day free trial as we talk. Subscribe, like, jump up and down, do whatever you got to do. Those Apple podcasts mean a lot to us. I read every one of them. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.